was something that Nicodemus could not understand. How in the world I can go back into my mother's womb and being born again? Let's start the sermon. The first, it says in Job 25, verse 4. How then can a man be justified with God? Being justified means being sanctified, being saved, being holy. And then it continues, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And also in John 3:4 says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? He was already of age. All right, first of all, I'm going to tell you a story. The story goes like this. It's found in John 3, a book of John, chapter 3, verse 1 to 9 and 14 to 18. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So he came from the ruler party, the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee, and he came by night. He probably had to protect his life. And he told this to Jesus. He says, we know that you are a teacher. So maybe there were more than him that was a believer. And you're going to find later who was the other one, a friend of him. And he says, we know that you are a teacher. It comes from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So he believed Jesus because of his works. And you're going to see later what Jesus make a declaration in this behalf. Now, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, oh, did Nicodemus ask him a question? Jesus is going to answer something, but the question is not registered here in John 3. Interesting. There is no question. But Jesus says, Jesus answered and said unto him, probably Jesus read what was in his mind. And you're going to guess the question later. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So now that you know the answer, what is the question? Yeah, how can I get into the kingdom of God? But Jesus answered that right away. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? So apparently Jesus was talking about being born again. And he had that question. And so he came with a specific question. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily. When Jesus says verily, verily, is that important? It's a fact. I say unto thee, he says two things. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, a man has to be born of what? Water and of the Spirit. Two different things, but they cannot be separated. They go together. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now he addresses the problem. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now Jesus separated the two births, the physical and the spiritual. And the spiritual is the second one. That's why he says again. And then he addressed the wind. The wind, the same the same word in the Greek is pneuma. It's the same word for Holy Spirit. So when he says the wind bloweth where it listeth, it's talking about the Holy Spirit too. And thou hearest the sound hereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is talking to you today. Can you see him? No. It's like the wind. Now, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Wow, this is too much for me. How can this spiritual birth be? And then Jesus took him into something that he already knew, or he already knew. He says, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus went straight forward to the gospel. You gotta believe in Jesus and him crucified. You know, Apostle Paul spent so many years in school, and then he has to unlearn everything and be taken to Arabia for 3 years, and then 15 years in Damascus before he went to see Peter and James. God has to retrain him altogether. And you know what? He came to one conclusion. He says, I believe in, I'm paraphrasing, that he believed in Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. That is the conclusion of all the study. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, the love of God is the center of the gospel by giving Jesus to die at the cross. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is another definition of salvation right here. Believe on him, on Jesus Christ. And not only believe on him, what about him? In his name, in the only begotten Son of God. So, if we had to believe in his name to be saved, what is in his name that is important? Well, the word Jesus, which in the Greek is Jesus, and it came from Yeshua in the Hebrew, and Yeshua started with the word Yah, which means God, and the rest of the word means salvation. God saves. Jehovah is your Savior. So, or Yahweh is your Savior, whatever the pronunciation is. And so, this is important because the angel told Joseph that he will call his name Jesus, for he, and gave the explanation of the meaning of the name, for he shall save his people in their sins. No, from their sins. Because we are not going to sin until Jesus comes. If we have Jesus in us, we are not sinning. We sin because we walk away from his presence. And that's what we need to learn, how to walk with him permanently. Now, who was Nicodemus? It says in John 14, 10 to 11, believest thou, Philip, and know that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Philip asked Jesus a question. Show us the Father. And then Jesus told Philip, believest thou, Philip, know that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So, Philip didn't have the faith of Nicodemus. Nicodemus already declared to Jesus that he when he says, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus already believed in him because of his works. Now, Nicodemus deflected. I forgot to add the L right there, I misspelled. Nicodemus deflected the intention of the rulers of the Pharisees. John 7:50 and 51. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, do or lie judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Well, the story goes like this. Jesus went to cleanse the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles. And when he overthrew the tables and chased the money changers, he was preaching to the poor, to the needy and the sick. And the word went to the Sanhedrin. And the Pharisees and the rulers, they sent a group of soldiers, a policeman, to arrest Jesus. And then they came back to the rulers and they said, we had never heard a man speaking like this. And the rulers were mad, angry. But remember, Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin. And that's what Nicodemus expressed right there. Do or lie here. Those who are accused, do they hear him first? And then they turn to him and says, are you also a Galilean? Oh, they were mad. They were possessed. But Nicodemus gave Jesus a posthumous honor after his death. What did he do? Now, remember when Nicodemus said that the word we, and let me see where I read it. We know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except we be with him. I told him that the word we, you're going to find out who was the other friend of him. And this is found here in John 19:28-40. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also his friend, Nicodemus, with us first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, being born of the flesh and being born of the spirit. Let's see a fact. There are two facts here. Galatians 5:17-18. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another. That's a spiritual fact. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led in the spirit, ye are not under the law. That expression means condemnation. It means that the person under the law is lost. Or you are under the spirit, or you are under the law. Or you are guided by the spirit, or you are guided on your own. Now, let's see the works of the flesh. when the person is under the flesh, what is under the law, because the law condemns that person, it says this, Galatians 5, 19 and 21. Now the works of the flesh is manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of that which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not, what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So they are under the law, lost, condemned. Now, what are the works of the Spirit? Right there in the same chapter, following the verses 22 and 24 of Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this is all about love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. You know, a meekness person is somebody that doesn't take things personally. It doesn't take it to heart, and it takes no offense because it gives it to Jesus. That's meek. Why do you think Jesus didn't answer back when he was slapped in the face and spit it upon? Because he gave it to his Father. And he says, against such there is no law, no condemnation. As they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we are under the Spirit, the flesh has been crucified. Remember that Jesus told Nicodemus when he says, how can this be? And he tells, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, he put it on a pole that everybody that could see him would not die of those who was beaten by serpents. Have you been beaten by Satan? Have you been tricked? Look at who is in the pole, who is in the cross. Look at that big sacrifice that was told, that was in a nutshell, the gospel given to Nicodemus. So they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections. Now, those who are born of the flesh, they have different names in the Bible. I want to tell you one. It's called the old man. The man before Christ. The man that was living in the world before coming to Jesus. The man that was not under the Spirit. And the Bible refers us to him. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What happened to everybody that was crucified with the Romans? Do they survive? No, they died. So, that the purpose is to die. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh. So, if the old man is dead, the purpose is not to serve sin. So, if we are dead in Christ, are we going to continue sinning until Jesus comes? The only way that we sin is because we come out of that cross and take the old man back into us and forget about the company of Jesus Christ. That's why we lose our temper. That's why we are angry. That's why we cheat. Ephesians 4:22. That we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So how do we know this man is corrupt? Because he lust after the flesh. How do we lust? Because we indulge our five senses. It can be by sight, it can be by hearing, by taste, by touch. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye had put off the old man with his deeds. You know that we can lie by keeping quiet and let the other person believe a lie because we knew the truth? Yes. Now, when Jesus told Nicodemus that he has to be born of water and not the Spirit, so there are two things that can happen. What is born of water? The Bible tells us in Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by what? Baptism unto death. So baptism means burial. Okay. So that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, if the old man is dead and we are resurrected, symbolized coming out of the water, who is the new man? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if we all have the mind of Christ, you think that we are going to fight with each other? That's the reason why we have problems. One of us or both of us have no Christ in us. We are in the old man. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Mark 1:4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So, what does it include to be dead in baptism? Remission of sins. So, implies that we have confessed and we have asked forgiveness of our sins. And that is symbolism of putting the old man in the grave, being dead. Acts 19, verse 3 to 5. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then say Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So John baptized the baptism of repentance, and he pointed to whom? To Jesus Christ. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There are some brethren that they do believe that they had to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Have you heard that? And they said that Matthew 28:18 was added fraudulently to the Bible. And this is what Matthew 28:18 says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of. So the old tree has a name. The old tree have a name. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, Hear of Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And it says, Hear of Israel, the word Lord, it comes from Jehovah. Jehovah, and the word God is Elohim. Jehovah Elohim, which is plural, God is one Jehovah. So they all take the name of Jehovah. Now, Acts 11:15-16. And as I began to speak, that's Peter's word, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on at the beginning. Then remember I the words of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, we are not baptized with Jesus, only Jesus. We are baptized also with the Holy Ghost. So, it's proper to And you know, in Colossians 2:9, it says that in him dwelling the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So it's proper to be baptized in the name of the Father, Jesus and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:47. Can any man forbid water that this should not be baptized which has received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And you know what? They received the Holy Ghost before the watery baptism. Can you believe that? We're going to see that again. Under the pouring of the Holy Spirit. This is going to happen again. Now, what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? Galatians 4:22-29. But he that was of the bondwoman and was born after the flesh, but he that is of the free woman was by promise. Verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Have you seen it today? Even those descendants of Ishmael are persecuting those that are descendants of Isaac. That's correct. Now, Galatians 4, I read that one. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified through weakness, the word weakness means flesh, humanity, yet he lived, means he resurrected, by the power of God. Who is he talking about here? Jesus, who resurrected Jesus? The power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And if we are going to be resurrected into newness of life, the same power comes. The same power comes. Let's identify the power. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Who came upon Mary? And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Who overshadowed Mary? The same that came upon her. Luke 1:35. So, if you use the principle found in Isaiah 28:10-13, that says line upon line, you apply that, because the Bible repeats the same concept, changing the words, so you can put line upon line and get a better picture of it. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with what? Who declared Jesus to be the Son of God? The power of God, the Holy Spirit. There is a text in Hebrews that I somehow didn't put it in here. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So in Romans 1:4, identify the power as the Spirit of holiness. Now, the Bible also mentioned another expression of being born of the Spirit is born of the Word of God. And 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again is the second time. First was the physical birth, the second the spiritual. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The corruptible means the flesh, incorruptible the spiritual. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, who is the Word of God? John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, being born of the Word, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, the old man and his sins. Because remember, the sins are forgiven. Behold, all things are become new. And who is the new? The second Adam, Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, there is a definition of salvation here in Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything. In other words, all the rituals, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. In other words, being born again. The only thing that Jesus is concerned is that you be born again. That you have Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's all about salvation. You have Jesus in your mind, you are saved. You can go out and you suffer an accident, you are saved. If you go to sleep and you have Jesus in your mind, you confess your sins, make things right, you are safe all night long. Now, there is an expression, born of God. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. So anyone that is born of the Spirit is born of God and believes that Jesus is Christ. The word Christ means Messiah. So you need to believe that He is the Messiah to come, and He came. That He is our Savior. So very interesting that the devil deceived the Jewish nation by closing and covered their eyes and not to believe that He was the Messiah. That's a fundamental point of salvation. The anointed one. But you know what? Many of the Jewish religion are going to open their eyes. And they're going to be in the forefront of the battle, preaching the truth. And it says in John 1:13, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And you know, Jesus was called the Son of God. But who did the miracles with Mary? The Holy Spirit. Same with us. We are born of the Spirit, and we are called sons of God. Apostle Paul put this in his own words, as he wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 3 to 14. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father. Who is the glory of the Father? He who does the work of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over Him. You know that death had dominion over Jesus? And it was His choice. The death had dominion over Him because God made Him sin for us. He was sin. And He died as sinful man. That's why He died. But He never made commit sin. And that was the issue that He was able to secure redemption for you and me. He was the second Adam. He's spotless. And just compare. Look at Adam. Adam had a simple test. It was very simple. And it was hard for him, even if it was simple. Simple compared to the test of Jesus. That's my comparison. Jesus was test in everything. Everything. And he has a disadvantage because he took a body that was degenerated for 4,000 years. He took the weakness of man at that point. Adam wasn't that weak. He wasn't the full strength. The only thing that Jesus had of Adam, it was that he had not the propensity for sin. Adam didn't have a propensity for sin. He committed sin on his own full decision. And Jesus didn't have the propensity either. If you want to know more about it, Google or search the Baker's letter that Sister White wrote. Explaining that. Okay. Now, how do I know? Oh, I didn't finish Paul's statements here. Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is only one way to be alive and have eternal life. It's through Jesus Christ. Everything that comes from God, all the blessings, all his grace, is through Jesus. Even the Holy Spirit, it all comes through Jesus Christ to us. And everything that goes from this earth to him, our prayers, they must go through Jesus Christ in his name. And it's the Holy Spirit that take him to heaven because he presented to God. And God the Father knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. So he never say no to the Spirit. All right. Verse 12. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, how do we know we are born of God? Let's self-examine ourselves. And 1 John 2:29 says, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. What is doing righteousness? Just do everything Jesus tells you to do. That's it. Obedience. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God do not commit sin. Who is in your mind? Jesus Christ. You sin because the old man is in your mind. Whosoever is born of God do not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You cannot sin in the presence of Jesus Christ. So, let's see. If you're going grocery shopping and you pray, Lord, help me to buy the things. Or you just say, Lord, come with me. I want your company with me. And then you're going through things that are sugary and milky and things like that. Your conscience are kind of, you know, you don't want to offend the Lord because he's with you. We buy and eat the wrong thing is because we walk away from Jesus for a moment. Okay, Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but into grace. 1 John 5:18. Know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So as long as we are in his company, the wicked one cannot touch you. He cannot touch you. Yeah. I don't pretend to be holy because every day I had to give myself to the Lord. And if you and I, we fall because we fall, get out right away and pray like Peter, Lord, save me immediately. Immediately. As we walk growing in the stature of Jesus Christ, less and less we will fall. Less and less we look back. Because we are more aware of the presence of Jesus Christ in us. Until one day, like Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not found because God took him. And we are sealed. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, for he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked toucheth him not. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. How do you know yourself or somebody else is born again? Because we love our brethren. We love the brethren with the love of God. 1 John 5:1-4. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that love him, that begat, he that begat is God the Father, loveth him also that is begotten, Jesus. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Because they have what? Faith. Remember that faith and the Holy Spirit never separate? They come together. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that love him is begotten, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So love is in the heart. Now, also those who are born again are called begotten. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This lively hope, what is it? It's something that is alive. And where is our hope? Jesus Christ is our hope. He is our hope. It's not only just looking ahead the heavenly city. It's Jesus Christ himself, because he is the way over there. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know, Jesus has to be born twice also. He was begotten in the flesh, and he was begotten of the dead. Those are the only two creations. If somebody says Jesus is created, he was created in the flesh, because he was eternally past. How do we know he is eternally past? He wrote, it is Micah 5:3? Yes, okay. Now, we are also called the sons of God. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What is needed to become the sons of God? The power, which is the Holy Spirit. How you know it's the Holy Spirit is you look in Luke 1:35. Mark your Bibles right there with red pen and highlight it with yellow. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I already identified the power of God in Luke 1:35. Now, Philippians 2:15. That they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and pervert nation, among whom ye shine as light on the world. Are we swimming in a crooked and pervert nation? Oh man, you cannot go on the internet without being bombarded to wickedness and dirty stuff and ugliness, and you cannot help yourself. It's like living in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's everywhere. So we need Jesus all the way. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perfect nation. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. This is for us to contemplate, that we should be called the sons of God. What in the world? It is too much for me. I don't deserve it. To call the sons of God? Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, we are the sons of God now, in the flesh, spiritual flesh, yeah? Christ in you. And we are going to be transformed. It doesn't matter. We're still the sons of God. We are also called children of God. Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Romans 9:8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for a seed. Galatians 3:26, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, believing in Jesus, but that faith comes from Jesus, because Jesus says, I am the author and finisher of thy faith. So he gave us a gift in order to believe in him. And he gave us with the Holy Spirit, because they two go together. Luke 20:36. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So the Lord compares us to angels in his estimate. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Remember, if we are born again, we love our fellow men. How do we know that? When we love God and keep his commandments. We are born again if we keep his commandments. All 10 of them. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Romans 8:16-21, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I love that text, because the word spirit is twice written, and it means pneuma, both of them. But they have two different meanings. One is the Holy Spirit, and the other is my mind. Put it this way. Romans 8:16-21. 16. The Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, pneuma, itself bear witness with our mind. You see how beautiful that is? That we are the children of God. Now, verse 21, because a creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Once we are born again, we are children of God, we are free. You can go to sleep sound. Nothing comes to your conscience, nothing accuses you. Your conscience is so free, you smile all the time. Yeah, you come and tell your brethren, praise the Lord. You know what happens to me? The Lord blessed me today. We are free. Now, Caiaphas prophesied this. John 11:49-52. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. You know that same phrase is going to be coined to the remnant that keeps the Sabbath, and they will be persecuted because they keep the fourth commandment. verse 51. And this, for the common good, for the people. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad among the Gentiles too. So, I found a beautiful quote in a book in Desire of Ages, page 177. I want to read it to you. This is the last quote. After the Lord's ascension, when the disciples were scattered by persecution, Nicodemus came boldly to the front. He employed his wealth in sustaining the infant church that the Jewish had expected to be blotted out at the death of Christ. You know, killing the leader, everybody scattered, and the whole movement perished. That's what they thought. At the time of peril, he who had been so cautious and questioning was firm as a rock, encouraging the faith of the disciples and furnishing means to carry forward the work of the gospel. That was Nicodemus. He was scorned. Remember, he was on the Sanhedrin. He was scorned. He was cast out and persecuted by those who had paid him reverence in other days. So he was well beloved and respected in the Sanhedrin, but they turned against him. He became poor in this world's goods. He was a rich man. But he went all the way to give it all, and he became poor. He understood that happiness is not money. Happiness is Jesus and you, the hope of glory. And he will guarantee food on your table. He guarantee a roof over your head. He guarantee insurance for your transportation, for your health. He will guarantee that you will have brothers and sisters in the faith that love you to death in this earth. And continue, yet he faltered not in the faith which had its beginning in that night conference with Jesus. Nicodemus related to John the story of that interview, and by his pen it was recorded for the instruction of millions. Oh, we are in that number, you know that? The truth their thought are as important today as they were on that solemn night in the shadowy mountain, when the Jewish ruler came to learn the way of life from the lowly teacher of Galilee. He didn't imagine that we were repeating his story today. Now, I want to leave a promise with you. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are giving us the tools right now because he knows we are weak. He gives us the will and the doing. Now is for us to work out our own salvation. Exercise that will. Protect your will. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Can we say it all together? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. Praise the Lord. Mark that in your Bibles. Put a red pen. Do whatever. Put a mark. And God is asking a call today. John 2:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I said unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How many here want to be in that kingdom? Would you raise up to receive a blessing? And this is the blessing today for all of us. If you will bow your head. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Loving Father in heaven, you see the congregation here, your children. Lord, we are working. We wish to be born again. And Lord, take us by your hand. Give us the will and the doing as you promised. And give us strength to that will that we may work out our own salvation. Thank you, Father, for being with us and teaching us and